One evening in 1962, a 13-year-old girl named Pamela was pleased to see on her television a 22-year-old man from the Bronx called Dion DiMucci. He was the former lead singer of Dion and the Belmonts and a preeminent teen idol, one of the biggest stars in rock and roll. The girl was more than pleased, in fact. Quote, "Dion," she wrote in her diary. Quote, "Oh, help. I'm so excited. I think I'll just die. I was running around, choking and crying and yelling and screaming." Like many American teenagers in the 1960s, Pamela was obsessed with rock stars. And as she grew older, her obsession grew more intense, in tandem with the increasing intensity of its objects. A few years after Dion came the Beatles, and in particular Paul McCartney. Quote, "Every day I sent Paul a retardedly corny poem written on an aerogram and sealed with a kiss," she recalled. She had a particularly vivid memory of a Paul McCartney trading card emblazoned with a photograph that some other fans might have considered infelicitous. Quote, "You could actually see the shape of his balls being crushed by the tightness of his trousers," she later wrote. She and her similarly besotted friends called themselves the Beatles Sweeties, and they composed romantic Beatles-centric stories for one another, imagining themselves into the Beatlish lives of their idols. But Pamela soon realized that she was sweeter still on someone else, Mick Jagger, from the Rolling Stones, whom she and her friends had always found, quote, "dirty" and, quote, "sloppy." She was discovering that these qualities were no longer so off-putting. Quote, "With my precious Paul, I never really got past the hoping stage, but now I dared to imagine Mick with his wide whale corduroy trousers down around his ankles," she remembered. Her diary entries recorded her fantasies, which were becoming distinctly physiological. Quote, "Someday I will touch and feel him, I know it," she wrote. Quote, "Mick, my dear, dear penis." The young diarist eventually turned her passion for rock stars into a lifestyle and then a literary career. She is Pamela DeBar, and in 1987 she included those diary entries in her first book, I'm with the Band, Confessions of a Groupie. The title is accurate enough. DeBar was for years a leading light in the Los Angeles rock and roll scene, and her adult life turned out to be even more interesting than her girlhood diary. Her Jagger prediction, for example, proved accurate soon enough. But the true subject of her book was rock stardom itself. Few people have ever written as insightfully or as sympathetically about the peculiar enthusiasm that gives the genre of rock and roll its mythic reputation, or about the complicated bond that unites performers and fans, and, just as important, divides them. Often in the book, DeBar and her idols seem to be trying to figure out exactly how they are supposed to relate to each other. After all, DeBar was not just a fan, but a minor celebrity and also a recording artist, a member of the GTOs, or Girls Together Outrageously, a rock and roll performance art troupe that released an album on an imprint owned by Frank Zappa, the rock eccentric who served as their mentor. Still, she was clear-eyed about the seductive power of rock stardom and about the corresponding imbalance of power in many of the relationships she had. Quote, "I wondered if I was going steady with the best guitar player in the world," she thought, while she was dating Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. As part of the arrangement, she was expected to savor the band's forthcoming album. Quote, "On his day off, we stayed in my bedroom, listening to the test pressing of Led Zeppelin II over and over again, while he took reams of notes. I had to comment on every solo, and even though I believed the drum solo in Moby Dick went on endlessly, I held my tongue and went on pressing his velvet trousers and sewing buttons onto his satin jacket."